The iconic Welcome to Las Vegas sign glowed in the early dawn light as I drove slowly along the strip. At this hour, the sidewalks were populated by drunks staggering out of casinos and street cleaners mopping up after them. A year ago, I would have been giddy with excitement at the scale of it all. Instead, I drove past the Luxor Pyramid and Caesar's Palace with barely a glance, continuing until I hit a line of rundown motels. A sign on my right tugged at my attention. Curious, I eased to the curb in front of a crappy motel named the Buggy Suites. It was oddly familiar. I dug through the detritus on the passenger seat and pulled out the postcards. The one tucked under my windshield in New Mexico had a picture of this motel on the front. So was fate telling me to stay here? I frowned. In person, the motel looked godforsaken, better suited to the set of a dystopian film. It was L-shaped, with two levels wrapped around a parking lot. The neon sign featured a covered wagon that bounced up and down. There was only one car in the parking lot, a total beater. Apparently it was the off-season, at least for this flea bag. "What a dump," I muttered. Chewing my lip, I debated. Something about the place gave me the willies. As I watched, a guy in a white tank top with stains at the armpits stumbled out of a room on the top level, unzipped, and started pissing over the railing into the parking lot. "Sorry, fate," I said, wrinkling my nose. "Not gonna follow you on this one." But I desperately needed sleep. The past few days had been spent blearily mainlining bad truck stop coffee while trying not to swerve into oncoming traffic. My lower back was tight from 12-hour daily drives, and my personal hygiene had consisted entirely of wet wipes. Now that I'd arrived, the thought of driving much farther was overwhelming. I wanted a shower, breakfast, and a reasonably comfortable bed, not necessarily in that order. A half mile down the road, I hit pay dirt. The getaway's neon sign advertised vacancy, $30, free HBO, Wi-Fi, clean rooms. The latter didn't necessarily seem worth bragging about, but for $30 a night, if they actually were clean, I'd be pleasantly surprised. And it definitely looked like the type of place that accepted cash. I had $60 left, enough for one night here and a couple cheap meals. If I made a score today, I could upgrade. Deciding, I turned in. The getaway was U-shaped, with two floors of rooms lining a half-full parking lot. That, at least, seemed like a reassuring sign. Rubbing grit from my eyes and suppressing a yawn, I went into the office. The clerk seated behind the battered reception desk looked like she'd stepped out of a 1950s sitcom. She was wearing a flowery house dress and had a peacock blue scarf wrapped around curlers. Cat-eye glasses and bright red lipstick completed the look. "One night, hon?" she drawled, eyes still glued to a black-and-white movie playing silently on the mounted TV in the corner. "To start, yeah," I said. "Cash okay?" That got her attention. She gave me a once-over and cocked her head to the side appraisingly. "I run a clean joint here and I got rules. No guests." It took me a second to figure out what she meant. "I'm not a hooker." "Uh-huh." Her eyes narrowed. "Whatever you say, hon. I see any pimps or drugs, you're out." I suppressed a flash of annoyance. Apparently, I looked even rougher than I thought. "I'm just here to gamble." "Sure you are. $25 a night if you're paying cash. Checkout's 10 a.m. A minute after that, you pay for another day." She watched as I signed the register with one of my mom's old aliases, then slapped a keycard on the counter. "Number 9. Park in front and keep your car locked if you value it." "Thanks," I said, taking the card. She'd already turned her attention back to the television. I shifted my car to the spot in front of number 9. The room was on the ground floor, next to last from the end. When I opened the door, a pungent wave of air freshener nearly knocked me back on my heels. I covered my nose and stepped inside, eyes watering. The only window faced the parking lot. I immediately opened it to clear out some of the stench. The room itself was nothing to write home about, but miracle of miracles, the sign hadn't lied. It was clean. Or rather, as clean as possible, considering age and hard use. There was a definite noir motif, with framed movie posters on every wall. The industrial carpeting was a muddy, nubby brown. The queen bed was covered by a loud polyester comforter that definitely wouldn't hold up to scrutiny under a blacklight, and there was a wobbly-looking desk and chair in the corner with a matching dresser facing the bed.